Does everybody know what time it is?
Home and podcast time.
That's right. Benford Jewels is proud to present the Home Improvement Podcast. My name is Adam. You all know my co-host, Jordan Game Day Lyons.
Oh, who's ready for the big game?
Let's do it, baby. Game time!
Yeah, we got the music in the background, so we're I don't have to sing it.
We don't need to say game time. Everybody knows that this is a special Super Bowl-centric episode because of the music that we used. From
the music in the episode title.
From the 1993 NBC-affiliated Super Bowl.
And boy, does it sound nice.
It's contemporary, it's cool, it's hip. Yeah, you like it, I love it, and we're here talking about home improvement, talking about the Super Bowl. Do I wish this aligned with, you know, this lined up with the Super Bowl? Yeah, but you know what? It's, we're gonna make it work.
Better 3 months late than never.
You said it, mister. So yeah, I mean, we're gonna talk about home improvement like we always do on this show. This is, we're doing it. It's a home and podcast doubleheader today. So this is our second.
If you couldn't tell by our terrible speaking ability.
This is our second episode of the day. So it's going to be a little twitchy.
Apparently. That's what people like, though.
We're doing our best. I don't like it when podcasts are refined and edited and professional. Overrated.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what I want to listen to.
I like it when things are raw.
Just like our Jungle to Jungle episode.
That was raw, unadulterated, unfiltered fun.
Oh boy, was it. Adam, why are we recording two episodes today?
Jordan, so many a life-changing event is transpiring or about to transpire for both of us. I'll talk about mine today, and perhaps later on you'll want to talk about something that's going to happen to you. Perhaps you won't. But I got a new job a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to say where it's at, but... we'll call it a copywriting gig, and it's downtown in the city. So our recording schedule and my kind of cush work schedule is not going to be the same.
Mm.
So we're trying to stockpile a couple, and then we'll figure out a new recording schedule in a couple weeks. I have to travel to London during my second week of work, and
you're quite the big wig now.
Oh, I just am so important. corner office,
Bowling in the White House, trips fast to track. London.
You know, they got me on a fast track to partner, basically. So yeah, no, I'm excited to have the new job. Excited to get started, but. Yeah,
the real reason you were looking
busier times.
The real reason you were looking for a new job is because you wanted to share the Home and Podcast with some new people.
I was hoping actually that I would get a new job and I'd be so busy that I would have a viable excuse to stop doing the show.
But alas, not quite enough yet.
No, you know, it turns out unless I'm working 7 days a week, the podcast is always going to kind of be in play. Mm. So.
What a shame.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I'm traveling to London and work starts on Monday. So,
well,
I'm excited.
You know, on behalf of all of our listeners, I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you so
good luck.
So much. Yeah, great. Thanks. I think it's this podcast that really sealed the deal for me.
I mean, it is on your LinkedIn, so.
I'll tell you, I guess I can say this now because I've been interviewing for jobs for probably. I don't know. Over the last 4 months, I've been hitting it pretty hard because I knew I kind of wanted to transition. And I've had a couple of in-person interviews, and Home and Podcast almost always came up during these interviews. I mean, it's on my CV. It looks professional, and I guess, you know, ultimately it is because not a lot of people have a semi-successful podcast. But without fail, that would be like the first thing people would bring up. And I would have to find myself kind of like explaining it in these very formal, I was in the city, like downtown, in this like high-rise building, not for this job, for a different job. And it's like a boardroom, and there's like three people at the table, at a big table, and then someone's conferenced in, and it's very formal. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about like friggin' Tim Allen and segments we do and stuff. It was very interesting.
What I would give for some of that, like,
I mean,
recorded.
Seriously, it was you would have loved to have been a fly on that wall.
Wow.
But alas, no more interviews. So feeling good about that.
Bittersweet.
Yeah. I love talking about the show.
You were just interviewing him with places just to spread the
podcast gospel. It was for word of mouth only. I have that kind of free time.
No wonder our numbers keep popping up.
I know.
Wow.
But Jordan, it's time to actually talk about Home Improvement today. And it's game day on Home Improvement. Mm. I'm going to say that probably 5 or 6 more times. We're talking about Super Bowl Fever.
Yeah, episode 89. This one written, it's got a tandem. This is, I kind of think of them as like the quarterback and the wide receiver combo.
It was written by Dave Craig and Chris Spielman, right?
Oh, well, they did get some good lines in this episode. Yeah. But they were courtesy of Rosalind Moore and Howard J. Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they listed "'Twas the Night Before Chaos" and "Ye Old Shop Teacher." So, some recent installments.
Would you say that they have, I mean, I feel like they've written a lot of the episodes we've done so far.
Seems like they've
been. It's a common duo.
Yeah, reoccurring writers, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so too.
This one aired January 31st, 1995. Mm-hmm. How many alternative titles do you have?
Oh, man.
I don't know if people know, but the title reference is... the Super Bowl is a big football game in America. Okay, yeah. So yeah,
is that on the IMDb trivia?
I'm gonna put it there. Make sure you give it a 1 out of 1, like thumbs up. Interesting information tidbit.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ooh, a question mark. Ooh,
five.
4 was suspect, but 5 was 4. Pretty strong.
Yeah, 5.
Right.
I thought it was gonna be easy. There should be a lot of good ones because there's, you know, it's a football based episode. Yeah. A lot of terminology comes along with that. Didn't make it any easier for me.
No, but you didn't have to deal with the hot rod. So
this is true.
Ups and downs. I have 3. That's typically where I stop. So I'll let you go first.
Okay, I'll start with perhaps my weak. Oh, there's so many weak ones. you'll like this one. No, that is stupid. That doesn't even make sense. And I'll save it for last. I get my first one. Do you mime? I'm sick.
Strong first quarter start.
Out of the gate.
It's like
yes.
You ran the kickoff back for like 80 yards. You're set up in the red zone right now.
I got a quarterback sack on the first play, baby.
All right.
Contrary to how we talk, we do watch football and are somewhat knowledgeable.
I would say so. All right. How about Friends Over Everything?
FOE.
Yeah.
I like it. Any Given Sickness.
I mean, these are much better than last episode.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
The Big Flute Ball Game.
Oh, good one, Jordan. Here's my next one.
Boy, that sounded authentic.
This is the bad one that I was going to start with that I can read now. Nose tackles and nurturers.
Jeez. How about Tim's acerole dish?
Oh, I like that. That's good. All right, 2 more. Man, I feel like I have a lot. A tradition unlike any other.
The Masters?
Yeah, at some point Tim says it's a tradition. She says it's the first year, yeah. So I was kind of playing on
it. It works better if you don't know what it's actually in reference to.
True, yeah.
And your final one.
I actually think this one's pretty good.
Okay.
The Super Bowl Snuffles.
Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. That was, yeah. I mean, we've had worse weeks. That was 8 pretty good ones.
I mean, do you mime? I liked flute ball.
Yeah, you did. There you did. All right. Wow. After that, we move on to the plot synopsis, I guess. All right. So, Skagerry 66. Mm-hmm. Tim invites his friends over to watch the Super Bowl, but his plans are thrown off when Jill comes down with the flu.
Yep.
See, I like, that's a good plot synopsis right there. That's one of Skagerry's better ones, because you don't know what's going to happen, but you get what's going on.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Very apt.
Apt. Apt, and we're going to start reviewing all plot synopses.
We're going to come up with alternative plot synopses.
No, thank you. Alright, let's start. Episode walkthrough time. The logo throws a pass to Tim, and Tim's on tool time.
Mm-hmm.
So he catches it right in the chest. Nice throw by the logo.
Yeah, I think the logo went to Rutgers, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he played at Rutgers. Which is now in the Big Ten for all you college football fans out
junkies.
There.
Junkies, yeah, it's going to be a lot of football.
Seems pretty weird, doesn't it?
I know people, once, you know, you're in that, like, really dry season between, like, the end of the NFL and college football seasons, and then mm-hmm. you're waiting for just after the draft and all that stuff. So we've got to fill that void right now with a lot of football talk.
Yeah. First down and 10, Jordan. Keep at it.
So Tim then throws the pass to Al. They're chatting about Super Bowl Sunday. They bring out three very special guests. These are Detroit Lions players, and they've got their favorite Super Bowl Sunday recipes. So mm-hmm. bring out Chris Spielman, Dave Craig, and Calvin Pritchett.
Chris Spielman has a tuna noodle casserole.
He does.
Dave Craig has a 7-layer bean dip.
Spicy.
And Calvin Pritchett has a secret Super Bowl stoop.
And he's got a nice throw rug on.
So that was funny. Per Tim. That was a good joke. Do you think that had to have been improvised?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. Tim was not going to let that pass up either.
I should say, I really love it when they do this. Like, I really like it when they bring the Detroit athletes in. I don't know. Probably because, like, we grew up during this era, but I don't really remember these guys playing per se because we were, like, 5.
Yeah.
But I do really like it when they bring Detroit athletes on.
And they do quite a bit.
And they do.
So,
should I do a brief bio of? I think Pritchett was on the Habitat for Humanity episode.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, so I'm going to do a brief bio on Spielman and Craig, if that's cool with you.
I'm not going to throw a flag just yet.
Okay. Unnecessary roughness. Huh? All right. So, Chris Spielman, former. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but he played for the Lions between 1988 and 95. The Bills, 96 and 97, and the Browns in 1999. He was a 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, high school All-American, very, very exceptional college player at Ohio State. He won the Lombardi Award. And, I mean, like I said, I don't remember Spielman playing that well, but my father holds him in very high regard.
Mm.
And one thing that we should note about Spielman is he's an analyst on Fox, and he does a lot of the Lions games that are on Fox, and he's pretty terrible in this episode. Like, his presence is just really not there, and now, you know, it's his job, so he's really come a long way.
Yeah,
I'd like to give him credit for that.
He's certainly made some gains.
I'm not going to say he's a great analyst.
I don't mind him.
He's okay. None of them are that good, but, you know, he's serviceable, and in this episode, you know, 20 years later, he's put in the work, and I'd like to give him a shout-out for that.
Yeah, he's no Tony Romo, is that what you're trying to say?
I don't think Tony Romo's as good
Everyone
as everyone
else. Everyone loves Tony Romo.
I know. I mean, Tony Romo's... I liked Gruden, but I get why a lot of people don't.
I do not like Gruden.
Just, like, funny. No, I think... I actually like Aikman and Buck, and not a lot of people like Aikman
I don't
and
mind
Buck,
them.
But,
you know, I just miss John Madden. Boo!
Yeah, and Summerall.
Yeah, why not?
All right, other guy that we're going to talk about is Dave Craig. He was only with the Lions for 1994, so we caught him at the tail end of his career. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler, 84, 88, and 89. Looks to have had most of his success with the Seahawks. He played with them from 80 to 91. Had a 17-year career, which is fairly
long time
substantial. Threw for 261 TDs, 38,000 yards, and had an 81.5 passer rating. So, yeah, I mean, I was surprised by these numbers because I just don't hear a lot about this guy. But
nothing to sneeze at, man.
He was especially a good career for an undrafted free agent out of Milton College, which is a NAIA team, so very small.
Wowzers. So we got some heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
And the tool time set. Tim makes a joke saying something to the effect of, you know, maybe you guys can figure out the recipe to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was funny because this was in 1995, and
it's only gotten worse.
And they still haven't found that recipe yet, so
no.
It's kind of depressing. Yeah,
no, they're not anywhere close. The stew has some oysters and spam, and it's giant. Like, it's huge, but it only serves one, says Pritchett.
Funny.
So
that was funny.
Good joke. Spicy bean dip that Tim can't quite handle. He spits it out.
Well, that's a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, that's a nice little quarterback sneak there. That one, they really like had to go out of their way to shoehorn that one in. I felt like
it doesn't even really make sense, but yeah, I mean,
but Dave, you know what? Dave Craig probably went on set. He's like, I gotta make this quarterback sneak joke.
Craig delivered. I mean, you don't get to the Seahawks Ring of Honor without delivering.
No, he's thrown a touchdown or two in his day, and this was just another one to add to the list.
Amen.
So there's a competition at the end of the scene where they're debating what is best. And as you can expect with three, you know, competitive football players, they start attacking each other.
Yep.
Although I did see, like, that Craig was, like, trying to get in between Al and Tim's head and to get some more camera time, it seemed like, so.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's only going to be on Home Improvement once. You might as well make it count.
Them quarterbacks be heady.
Yep. All right. And that's the open. And it's the finest opening I've ever seen. I liked it.
Good. All right. So what's next?
This episode, I mean, I say this a lot, but this episode has a lot of different scenes and settings.
They're on a football field. They're running back and forth.
I tell you what, it was like they were measuring their 40s.
I would say there's some turnovers downstairs, and they ran back upstairs.
What do you think Tim's 40 would be? 5, 6?
Closer to 6, maybe.
Okay. All
right. What's your 40? That's what I want to know.
I'll tell you what it was in high school.
What is it?
It was 4.9, pretty fast.
Oh, baby.
Wouldn't be that. I think our football coach doctored it to make players seem more desirable to colleges. Because, like, there was this guy, Tim Olds. You know Tim Olds?
Yeah.
Maybe another name. Our coach used to say he ran, like, a 4.2, which would be faster than, like, which would be the fastest guy going in the NFL this year would run, like, a 4.3.
Yeah,
so I'm just unlikely. I'm not buying that Tim Olds was, you know, faster than most professional athletes, but hey, you know, I didn't question it.
He had one specific skill, and he did it real well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're home, and Tim is prepping for his Super Bowl party. He's got surround sound. He's excited. The boys walk in. Did you notice JTT had kind of strange-looking hair?
He did.
Yeah, what was up with that? You think he, like, ran a brush through the middle of it or something?
Either that or he got a bad haircut.
It looks weird.
I did notice it right away, though.
Yeah, he looks like an 80s... he looks like somebody from, like, Wolf of Wall Street or something.
Looks like he got his bell rung.
How you figure?
I don't know. I'm just trying to shoehorn more in.
Yeah, keep it up, man. Yeah, I think it's definitely helping the narrative flow.
Yep.
We find out that Jill is sick.
Ooh.
And we hear it from Mark, who delivers it. And I think that probably this would have been when stardom happened. We cut up to the bedroom.
Wait, there's a joke that happens twice in this episode, and the first time is in this scene.
Okay, go ahead.
So the boys come down. They see Tim trying to hook up the surround sound. They say, "Dad, with some open wires, this can't be good."
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about when Mark says...
There's also a good joke there.
Your mom...
She's moaning real loud and calling your name.
He says, "Yeah, usually that's my dream."
And then they pan to Mark's face, and he's very confused.
And he's like, "My dream, too."
They have not had the bird and the bees talk. Yeah, there's right. Multiple talks.
Okay, so now we cut upstairs. Jill has 103 degree temperature, and...
And she threw up.
That's hot. Yeah, it's a high temp. And she wants Tim to cancel the party and take care of her. But I guess mostly she wants Tim to take care of her. And, you know, this struck me as being kind of strange. Like, if somebody has the flu, fever, what have you, nobody can really do anything to take care of you. They can bring you things, but that's about it. Otherwise, you just kind of have to wait it out.
Well, I think what she said at the end of the episode is she just wants him to be there to comfort her.
But why does he have to cancel the party?
Well, I don't think a person, if you have two masters, you don't really serve either of them well. And we see that here. He doesn't get to watch his football game. He doesn't really take care of his wife. You know, his solution says, "I'm going to call you on the intercom and I'll come up for commercials." So it shows a real callousness there. But
I guess. I don't know. Just like, I would understand if they had, like, a small place or something. But, like, I don't know, like, she's just upstairs being sick regardless. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
you would imagine that she would want to just kind of hang out and watch a movie.
If I'm sick and I'm, you know, like, getting sick, God forbid, like, I don't want anyone near me.
She knows, perhaps, that, like, if there is this football game going on and if there are people there, that when she does need something, say, food or drinks or any medicine, whatever, Tim's not going to be very attentive in doing that.
I suppose that you're right. Yeah. Fair enough. And, I mean, you know, she's proven to be correct by the end of the episode, so...
Boy, is she. But
next
scene,
did you want
to... Well, I was just going to say, Tim's not interested in canceling the party at this point, and Jill kind of relents begrudgingly, and we move on.
Yeah, the dudes arrive, and it's a deep squad. We got Harry of Harry's Hardware. We got Larry. Have we seen Larry before?
Boy, I don't know. I don't remember him.
Dr. Larry Lindover. We have Pete Mickey Jones, who is now just like a regular,
he's just driving down from Bay City to watch football games.
He's hanging out in their social circles. And then we have Al as well. So I'm looking up if
Mention Benny?
I did not mention Benny.
Benny's there as well.
You want to pick this up, and I'm going to see about
Pete
Dr. Larry Lindover.
You know, Pete comes in loud and proud. He's got an air horn, and he's blowing it. And Tim's trying to keep everyone down, but they've been private. Promised a surround sound and a good football game and a good atmosphere. We do learn that Pete's also a 49ers fan, which made me wonder.
I looked up the Super Bowl. I have quite a bit of information on
it. It was the 49ers in that Super Bowl, right?
First, I want to say Dr. Larry Lindover appeared in Ye Olde Shop Teacher. Okay. He was on Tool Time.
Oh, yeah.
With the steady hands.
Yep.
So regarding this Super Bowl 29, 49ers versus the Chargers. It was in Miami. The 49ers won 49-26. They were favored by 18.5 points, which is a ton
wild
for a Super Bowl spread. This was Steve Young's coming out party. He won the MVP, threw for 6 touchdowns, which has got to be a Super Bowl record, I would think. And Kathy Lee Gifford sang the national anthem. So, yeah, I got it all, baby.
Good nugget. I was wondering, wouldn't they record this before the game happened? Long before the game happened?
So the game was on, I had a date, the game was on the 29th, so I guess they would have known, maybe not. I mean, I guess the short answer is must be they didn't.
Because the weird thing, usually don't they record a lot of the stuff, way in advance, and then, they just place it in certain dates during the year, so, they would have recorded this, I would have thought, over the summer or something. And then, how would they, that would have been, a really good guess that they knew that the 49ers were in the Super Bowl.
So the Super Bowl aired 2 days before this episode came out, so...
But do you think they recorded it, time?
I think that they must have done it, a week before. Maybe they were just operating on a... maybe they were only doing it, a couple weeks before, and they knew based on the... I don't know. It's an interesting question.
It calls into a lot of questions for me.
Let's see, who played in the Super Bowl the year before?
I looked that up. It was the Bills and somebody else, so...
Because if it was the... Maybe when they wrote it, the 49ers were just...
Dominant.
The best team in the regular season. They just kind of assumed that
they would
that
make
was going to be the case, but that's pretty risky. Let's see what the... 49ers.
I mean, I don't
the
know
The 49ers
what...
were... I can't really find their record, but... yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know that we'll ever know.
Yeah, we'll never know. Maybe it's a prophetic show. Who knows? But anyways, Tim tries to keep them quiet. Jill calls down on the intercom for the first of many times.
There's a lot of this.
And she needs something. And the group is a little bit concerned. Al specifically, he doesn't quite feel comfortable with the situation.
Yeah, no one else cares at all. In fact, they are just mad that they can't make a lot of noise.
Yeah, they're more worried about their game day experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's game day on Home Improvement and Owen Podcast.
That's right. So, and right now, it's game time because the yelling and the exciting,
excitement
has happened. And we're in the next scene. Jill calls down again, tells them to keep it down. Like I said, Al is kind of uncomfortable. No one else really cares. This led me to think about, you used to have some Super Bowl parties.
Yeah, I had them, I would say from when I was 14 or 15 to 21,
and your mom
22.
Was always sick for the Super Bowl.
1 year, my dad was really sick. I remember he had to go to the hospital, and the party had to be shut down. Yeah, it was kind of shut down, and that was kind of a bummer. But he at least had the decency to go to the hospital. Get out of the house. We could watch the game.
Jeez.
And it was also on his birthday. Especially depressing.
No, not a good year.
Forgettable year.
So upstairs, Jill is watching Dr. Zhivago. Tim brings up some Jell-O, and then he shakes it in front of her face.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going for here.
Not a real wise move, I wouldn't think. Jill's not interested in the Jell-O. Tim wants to go right back down. He's done his duty. He brought her Jell-O, but Jill wants.
He starts to give her a back rub.
Jill requests a back rub, and so he starts to give it. Before he does, he checks downstairs to see how much time he has, and Pete yells back, "He's got about 10 seconds." Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden somebody fumbles. He leaves her in the lurch, runs downstairs, and not a good look. Not a good scene for Tim right now.
No, no. I guess you could say... nope, never mind. No, nothing coming. Next scene. God, I mean, like, I can't stress this enough. Like, there's just so much running around that the scenes... Until all of the guys come upstairs, the scenes are all sort of inconsequential.
But yeah.
Tim comes down, and then Jill calls him up again.
Yeah.
Like, he leaves. When Tim is gone, the guys suggest that Benny turn on the surround sound. Well, because Tim hooked it up.
Mm. And they just wanted it on for the touchdown, you know?
Yeah, they weren't going to leave it on. No. For sure. They were definitely going to turn it off anyway. Benny turns it on, and the whole system blows.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Benny Baroni, baby. Benny Baroni. I wonder what Marie was doing. I'm surprised she didn't come over for sausage and some camaraderie.
Maybe she was over with the boys, because they went to a different, you know, Jeremy's house.
Yeah, somebody's dad had a 70-inch TV.
Yeah, Marie went over there. She's like, I don't care about surround sound.
Yeah, well, she just wants to get Brad back for that locket.
Or maybe. Jeez. The locket.
My locket.
She's over there, like, plotting her revenge.
I think there's a party somewhere down the street with Emmett Walsh, Jay Leno, Marie, The Locket, and Brad.
And the McGurns?
Hey, McGurns, eat garbage!
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Tim comes... Well, Tim's
already upstairs.
Tim's everywhere at this point.
Yeah. And the guys... The TV's blown, so the guys, all, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, just stomp into Jill's room, take over the TV... change it from Dr. Zhivago to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a funny visual. Jill hides under the sheets, or the comforter, rather, and they're just, you know, they're just watching the game. They have no regard for
her.
Jill, Tim, the family, really anyone besides themselves. Al continues to feel sheepish, but not sheepish enough to really do anything.
No, you know? He's just kind of being the bystander, not doing too much. And Jill gets Tim to have a confab underneath the blankets, and... you know, I can't believe she doesn't freak out sooner than this, I guess. But eventually...
She was patient, yeah.
Yeah, and then after, like, figuring out, like, why are they up here, Tim tries to explain what happened. And then he leaves for a second, and then Benny goes under the blankets. And he's like, hey, you want some of this hot sausage?
And you know, the weird thing is, he didn't have anything, and he didn't have any hot sausage. So I don't know what he was talking about.
That would have been very awkward. He says it'll take away the fever or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. This is enough to drive Jill out of her own bedroom. She escapes with a pillow over her face, runs downstairs, and Tim chases her downstairs.
Yeah.
And she...
I feel like we need to take a break. This episode is just... It's going too fast.
At halftime? You want halftime?
Ooh, I like it. Let's take a little halftime break. We don't do this very often, but we're really bouncing around a lot. I need a rest. Let me come up with an aside here. Favorite Super Bowl snack? What do you want to have at a Super Bowl party? What would you really dig on eating?
You know, when we were younger, my parents would do a lot of, like, subs from VG's, mm-hmm. like those big long subs. Those were really good. I mean, you VG's. Can't go wrong with
VG's elitist.
You can't go wrong with some chicken wings, chicken legs, mm-hmm. that type of thing. Yeah. A couple times, Andrea has made these, like, barbecue meatball sliders on like those Hawaiian buns. Those are a crowd pleaser. So
tell me more and say it slower.
What about you?
Growing up, my mom always made the mini cocktail weenies.
Oh, yeah.
So those are a Super Bowl staple. In addition to that, you know, I do like some kind of a 7-layer dip or something to put some nacho chips in and get a little bit of heat. You know, I'm something of a heat seeker, as it were.
Heat-seeking missile, if you ask me.
You got it. Otherwise... Wings are good. Pizza is good. You got to have some guac in the fold and a couple of ice cold brewskis if you don't mind.
Oh man, I feel like I should have a Super Bowl party this weekend.
I tell you what, I'd like to have one right about now.
You know, it's the Players Championship this weekend, so maybe for the Sunday, have a nice get together, sit around, watch 6 hours of golf.
If you're a Lions fan right now, there's a lot to celebrate. So.
Jeez. All right, so
pick it up.
Is halftime over?
Is over.
Halftime's
third quarter.
Over. All right.
Clock starts at 15, and we are counting down.
Pivotal moment. The kickoff
first
is here.
First and 10, Jordan on the 20-yard line.
Jordan drops back. Tim chases her downstairs. She's going off at this point. Why couldn't you cancel the party? Why couldn't you just take care of me? Tim offloads the blame on himself. He says it's not his fault that the surround sound blew. Strange move by him, but Jill continues to call him selfish, gives several examples of him being selfish, and yeah, she's right here.
Yeah, he never takes care of her.
Nope. When she had laryngitis, he didn't take care of her, and his excuse is she didn't say anything.
That was kind of funny.
It was funny. And then she got her wisdom teeth out, and all the boys took care of her doing different roles, and all he did was bring her the Reader's Digest or something like that. TV Guide, I think it was. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, right. And I'm sure if we went back through some of the episodes, we'd find several more examples, but we're not going to. Instead, we're going to go upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are enjoying the game. Al, at this point, is trying to get them to leave, and Tim comes up to force them to leave.
Finally, you know, this is long overdue.
They're somewhere in the third quarter. Or, no, it's right before halftime at the game. The guys want to take the TV. Ben kind of treats it as, like, a negotiation, he says.
Right.
Jill can come upstairs, but we get the TV. Tim says no. He brings up, like, a little portable that he had in the ice fishing episode, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah, and they're not interested in watching on that, and... I think, was it Larry?
And who can blame him?
No.
Yeah, Dr. Larry Lindover suggests that they hop on down to Big Mike's.
Yeah, it's halftime.
Yeah, that's fine.
They're going to miss the big halftime show, though. I don't know who it was that year.
Oh, man, I should have found out. It was probably like Michael Bolton or somebody, you know, the 90s.
Michael Bolton.
You know, Kenny G, Michael Bolton, those guys.
Ooh, maybe they teamed up for like a duo.
That's too much sax. And then Brad watched and he's like, someday.
And then Bill Clinton came out.
But Bill Clinton with sunglasses on Arsenio, and he was like, today.
It was a great halftime.
That'd be cool if Clinton, I mean, if you're getting Leno, you can definitely get Clinton during his presidency on this show. I don't know why they didn't try. Would have been great.
Yeah, missed opportunity.
All right. Tim is watching the TV, the portable TV, with a magnifying glass downstairs.
Mm.
And then, you know, I think batteries die out, and he needs to step outside and talk to his neighbor, Wilson.
Mm.
And I think we probably should play a clip here.
Yep.
Hey, yo, Wilson, you got any batteries?
No. Why, I certainly do, Tim. I got C's, D's, I got 9 volts. I have one made out of a potato.
Regular alkaline.
Idaho.
I need some double A's, 4 of them.
Oh, Tim, I'm so sorry. I'm all out of those.
Great. Perfect day. All I wanted to do today was do what every other guy's doing on this Sunday, watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah, it's today, and Jill's all bent out of shape, kicked my friends out, had some guys over to watch Super Bowl. She didn't like it because she got the flu.
Mmm, you know, I've got a touch of that myself, Tim. That's why I'm boiling up some bees.
Yeah, well, I swear I just heard you say boiling up some bees.
Well, you know I did. See, you steep the bees for 45 minutes in boiling water, and then you drink the liquid. It's an ancient Chinese remedy for nausea.
Sounds like an ancient Chinese cause of nausea.
No, Tim. It makes a very delightful bee tea. The best part is you don't have to add honey.
Maybe I should whip something up for Jill. She doesn't think I take care of her very well.
Mm. Well, Tim, it's not uncommon for men to have difficulty being nurturers.
Yeah, tell me about it. When I was 7 years old, a little sparrow fell out of a tree in our backyard, and I tried to make it feel better, and I stroked his little head for 4 hours, you know.
Oh, what happened?
I think I pet it too hard. One of the eyes popped right out. I didn't know. But I buried it in a nice shoebox.
At least you made the effort, Tim.
Yeah. Do you have any extra bees?
Well, I surely do. See, I always buy them in bulk.
I'll pay for any that I use, okay?
Oh, don't worry about that. Tim, just consider these freebies.
Tim goes out to see if Wilson has any batteries. Wilson seems to have lots of batteries, except for the kind that Tim needs. And then Tim explains why he's upset. All he wanted to do was do what every other male is doing on this Sunday and watch the Super Bowl. Wilson says, is that... Was that today? So he's obviously, he's either not a male or just not interested. And so
I think he's just not interested. He seems like a male.
He seems like one. Tim explains the sitch, you know, what's going on. Wilson is busy boiling some bees.
He's sick himself.
He is sick himself. Apparently this is good for nausea. This struck me as a little strange, boiling up bees.
Hey, I mean, you know, I don't know that's any more or less strange than most of the things Wilson does, but yeah.
I was just more okay with, like, the paraffin wax type of thing that was going on. But now he's boiling some bees, and later we learn that some of these bees are still alive.
Yeah, well, that I don't believe.
It rubs me the wrong way. It seems like you could just, you know, boil some tea, put some honey in it. It's going to do the same thing.
Well, this is good because you don't have to add honey.
Yeah, it's an ancient Chinese, I don't know,
See, they don't say recipe. Secret because that's from a commercial. I think it's just an ancient Chinese recipe.
Yeah. So,
well, Tim's not nurturing Jordan.
Yeah, and men typically have that problem.
Yeah, he needs to be. Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, Tim has an idea. He asks Wilson if he has any extra bees.
Mm.
And then Wilson says, I have some free bees. And I, again, much like the last episode, I fell on the floor laughing, rolling around at the humor of this episode.
Did you like the joke where Tim broke a baby bird's neck when he was younger?
Yeah, that was dark. I don't know.
A real dark scene. Killing bees, killing birds.
I know. It's just, I think PETA probably had to call in response to this
one. Oh, man. So.
PETA, I remember a guy we went to school with used to wear a shirt fairly often. PETA. No, it was the janitor, Jim Bass.
It wasn't a kid?
No, it was Jim Bass, the janitor. And he wore a shirt that said, PETA, people eating tasty animals.
Oh, man. Just
isn't that something?
Just a classic.
Classic, yeah, classic. Jim, if you're listening out there, you know, Jim Bass and I, and I'm going to bring this full circle.
Please.
I'm going to land this one. So I was a high school student, 15, 16, 17, I don't know, somewhere in that window. And Jim Bass and I made, I don't know why I was talking to Jim Bass so much.
More than I ever did, that's for sure.
We made a Super Bowl bet about, like, it was like, I think it was like the Colts Bears Super Bowl, so maybe 2007, and I bet that the Colts were going to win, and we bet a lunch on it, and I remember coming back the next day, and Jim Bass, he paid for my lunch. He gave me, I would say, $6 worth of quarters, and I felt kind of bad collecting, but a bet's a bet.
Man, Jim Bass is a man of his word.
Jim Bass and I had Super Bowl fever. I don't know how I would have paid for his lunch or what that would have looked like. I would have liked to have thought he wouldn't have collected, but who's to say?
Seems like he would have.
That Jim Bass, though. Funny shirt, funny guy, and you know, he doesn't welsh on his bets. So.
No, that's a good man all the way around. So, boy, you really brought that full circle.
I know. It's funny how these things work. Jordan, let's get through this episode.
Why? I think we're taking our time, and it's all right. So later, Tim comes upstairs. Tim brought her some tea and a bunch of Doctor movies, including Dr. No, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Dr. Doolittle, and he snuck in Dr. Naughty and the Night Nurses. Which...
Now, you looked that up, right?
I did.
No, me neither. I'm going to assume it's not real, but...
I don't need any malware on my computer. There's some bee jokes
here.
Did you
say malware or malware?
Well, either one.
All right,
so there's some more bee jokes here. Jill says she doesn't want to get a buzz... And Tim shows her that he got stung all over his arm preparing it. And Jill spits out the, I don't know, concoction, I guess we can call it.
She doesn't, yeah, she doesn't.
She's
like
not
it.
Interested in that. All Jill wants, like I said earlier, is for him to be attentive and comforting. And Tim, you know, he comes clean with kind of a lame excuse, but he says he feels useless when she's sick. He can't fix her like he can a car. So apparently that gives him an excuse to like ignore her and just hang out with his friends. And
yeah, it's lame. It doesn't really land.
No, but it seems to work for her. And so he tries, he tries to give her a massage until the phone rings and it's Benny. And Benny, you know, as Tim rubs Jill's back, Benny is rubbing it in on Tim, saying how good of a game it was, how much fun he had, in that blowout that you mentioned. And, Tim says, nah, he's going to stick around here instead of going to Big Mike's for, I guess, the after party. And
yeah, I mean,
he's real happy.
He should have work the next day, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. You got work on Monday.
If he asked me, Monday should be a holiday. National holiday.
Said every radio disc jockey the Monday after the Super Bowl ever.
So there's like at the end of the scene, Tim says like he's happy, but through gritted teeth, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. Like, Tim didn't really come around, I guess.
No, I don't feel like there was much learning in this one.
Mm-mm. But later we do learn that Jill is well again. Smooth R&B comes down. They make that same joke, but with Jill this time. They say, like, food, a pot, and mom. Nothing good can come from this. which is what they say earlier. Tim is now sick, and we get Jill's reaction to that, which is the opposite of what Tim does. She kind of freaks out and goes overboard. But we don't see it.
Yeah, well, she's making fun of Tim because his temperature is only 98.
I think it was 99.1, so it was a slight fever.
So, yeah, barely.
I got the impression that she wasn't doing... I thought she was basically overreacting, like that's how she takes care of him.
No, she's making fun of him because he's being a baby that. Because... Well, yeah, I mean, I guess
I must have had my helmet on because it didn't get through my thick skull.
Yeah, I think you must have been tackled on the ground and you couldn't quite see what was happening on TV. And that's end of regulation. Fourth quarter's over. Hohen Podcast 1, everybody else 0. Roll credits fade to black. Title of the episode is
Super Bowl Fever.
Super Bowl Fever, a.k.a. Do You Mime? I'm Sick. Jordan, highs and lows.
Oh, yeah, Tim's a real jerk in this episode and doesn't learn anything and is really disappointing as a character here. So not really a high for me. Also, Tim's friends, I don't think they would do this.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those like it's like a beer commercial kind of the whole episode. It's like dudes are idiots, dudes love football, dudes don't think about any one besides themselves, and we've seen like all of these guys like be like, you know, characters with dimension, so like maybe Benny Baroni would do this, but like the rest of them, like, it just sort of seemed out of character. I agree.
Yeah, so I just didn't really enjoy the episode. So I don't know, it wasn't that great for me. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I appreciate that insight. Yeah,
there wasn't really any insight. I mean, like, what was redeeming about it? I don't know, nothing to me.
I mean, the one positive thing I would say is I did like the opening scene,
the Lions,
with the Detroit Lions. I thought that was kind of funny. It's funny in like a cheesy kind of bad way, you know, a lot like Jay Leno, except I guess that's just funny because it's funny. But no, I like that, and conceptually I felt like this should have been a good episode. I don't know, like, it's a okay idea, but yeah, just like Tim's really unlikable. He doesn't learn anything. The resolution is just kind of contrived, and it seems like they ran out of time. All the dudes there like are just kind of like crappy and selfish, and there's some good lines, but yeah, I had hoped I would like this one more, but you know, sometimes you lose the big game, Jordan.
Don't I know it? Yeah. All right, I guess that's episode 89, Super Bowl Fever. So we'll move on to Sean's social media roundup. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can do so at thehomanpodcast.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/homanpodcast. Twitter, our handle is @homanpodcast. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by going to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever, and leaving us a 5-star review. That'll help people find us. And also, if you'd like to support the show monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/homanpodcast, and you'll get all of the access to our funny outtakes in between our clips and behind-the-scenes access. You'll also get access to Adam's Home Improvement reboot script, which is just taking the world by storm.
Yeah, it won the Pulitzer.
Yeah. Not a lot of press, because that's kind of how you roll, though.
I'm humble, yeah. I'm like... who's that rapper that just won the Pulitzer?
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, Kendrick and I, we don't talk about winning the Pulitzer. We just kind of keep it under the radar. And if, you know, you want to talk about it, that's your thing.
Yep, you're not into that. So, Adam, I mean...
Yeah, I'll talk. I mean, you know, like I said, we recorded 2 episodes.
Not too much
today.
Going on.
Well, we've been pulled into this kind of strange shovel conversation I don't really understand. So I'm going to put that out there now. And hopefully by the time the episode hits, we will understand it. But, at Carly Q Romolino said, "What sound does a shovel make?" And then she linked an article about a team that plays guitar made from a shovel. And yeah, for some reason we're part of this conversation. People are responding, and I'm about as lost as I've ever been on Twitter. But you know,
social media world, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate the thought, and yeah, you know, if you wanna rope us into conversations we don't understand, please do so, because, you know, I live for it. We're pretty close to 400 followers as well. That would be looking forward to that. That's a big milestone. 388 right now. Yeah, taking it, in the words of Gaylord M. Fokker, day by day, by day, by day.
By day. Cool. It's question of the week time.
Yeah, it's your turn, and with the length of this episode, we got some wiggle room, so, you know, feel free to make it as long or short as you want.
You know, do we need to get away from...
Football? Yeah,
probably. So the other things that happened in this episode, there's some FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
There is some casserole dishes, which we've already kind of talked about.
Well, casserole or acerole?
Both, if you ask me. There's also some doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Some famous doctor movies.
Is there a question coming here?
I thought you wanted me to take my time.
I changed my mind.
All right. What's your favorite fictional doctor?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
Is it? It shouldn't be.
It's better than I expected. Favorite fictional doctor. Doctor movie or just fictitious doctor?
Just any doctor doctor.
Well, I'm going to name a couple.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and name as many we can think of.
All right, well, there's The Good Doctor. I mean,
sure.
He's pretty
I don't know his name,
right,
but yeah.
I'm watching him on Bates Motel. What's that kid's name? I don't know. Whatever. There's Dr. House from the, of titular House from House.
Yep.
There's a lot of good doctors on ER. That's a medical show.
What about, Dr. Strangelove, or...
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or Doc Strange, the superhero.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Dr. Evil comes to mind as well.
That's a nice one. Dr. Doolittle, Dr. Jekyll, Mr.
Jekyll,
Hyde.
Mr. Hyde.
I just read...
Dr. Seuss, obviously, is
a big
one.
I just read Jurassic Park. There's Dr. Wu in that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of big doctors. There's the good doctor. Oh, I just said that.
You just like him so much. You had to
mention how about Doctor Who? Doctor Who. I've never watched it, but...
Big, popular.
In terms of my favorite doctor, I mean, I'm looking at a Dr. Strangelove poster right now in my apartment, so...
I'd say that might be it.
I mean, I would feel like that has to be it. But I was thinking, in terms of... I like it in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, when Jason Segel goes to see... He sees, a pediatrician, and essentially he ends up showing the pediatrician his penis, and I just find that to be a really amusing scene. So when you said fictitious doctors, that came to mind.
I'm good.
I like that movie, and that's a funny scene.
It really stuck out to you.
Yeah, give me Dr. Strangelove. I always felt like Dr. Evil was my least favorite part of Austin Powers. I never liked him as much as other people did, but yeah. What about you?
Oh, I feel partial to some of the superhero stuff. It's top of mind. Villain side, you got Dr. Octavius or Doc Doom.
Doc Ock?
Doc Ock. Dr. Doom, very, very scary villain. Dr. Frankenstein?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I like him too.
Did you mention my doctor growing up, Dr. Motassin?
I did not.
Because he's good. He kept me alive for a lot of years. So
that's good. Yeah, I think he definitely deserves a mention. I guess I would say Doctor Strange, possibly, just because I didn't really know anything about him, and I found him very likable.
Should I watch that movie?
Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's on Netflix.
I enjoyed it. I like Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't know if I do.
It's got Rachel McAdams in it.
It's got
Tilda Swinton in it.
She's hit or miss for me.
I think. It's got some psychedelic scenes.
Man, I love psychedelics. We're going to a minor league baseball game this evening, Thursday, to celebrate my new job and end of the semester. So I got a free afternoon. So maybe I'll tune into Doctor Strange
and let me know what you think.
It'll depend on how long it is. Most of those movies are kind of long.
Yeah,
but,
you might want to watch it and split it in half. Have a halftime, just like we did today.
Yeah, and it worked out well for us here in this episode, so I would expect the same for the film. Jordan, what are we covering next week?
We're covering Bachelor of the Year.
Okay.
And I don't mean you.
Well, I'm not. no, Jordan, don't mistake me for Al. listeners, thank you for listening. Jordan, thank you for joining me. In the words of Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday, we claw with our fingernails. Take care, everybody.
Take care.